Well, today is week 3 of fasting. And you know, is it easy yet? Some people are saying, yeah, okay, good. So your body's getting used to it. Some are saying, no, it's getting a little more difficult. But we're at week 3. And, you know, we've been going over this study. And I just got to say, thank you to everybody who's participated in this. This is not just only for your personal spiritual life, but this is also as a church. And I'm going to get to that here in a minute. But we've talked about, for the last 2 weeks, we've talked about fasting. We've talked about how fasting is a direct line to God. That we deny the flesh and we go to God and say, Lord, here I am. That we say no to Satan whenever he tempts us. That we say no to our flesh when our flesh wants something. We talked about how through fasting we are able to pray more. We're able to worship more. We're able to put the distractions away from us. We're able to read scripture. And guess what happens when we're tempted? What do? We do like Jesus did. We counteract that temptation with the word of God. And we talked about that previously as well, but I just want to remind you in Matthew 4. Jesus was tempted how many times? 3. 40-day fast, every time when Satan tempted him, and it was a pretty big tempt, right? He corrected it with, it is said. The word says this, it is written. And even when Satan tried to twist it, have any of y'all had that situation where something in your head's telling you to do something else, just twist it? Oh, just have just one little sugary pecan. Or, oh, it's okay, you can have a little cheat. How about scripturally, though? Maybe Satan's trying to twist the scripture, take it out of context, and make it to where it's not what it really means. Oh, yeah, absolutely that happens. But in that time, that second temptation the devil did, Jesus said it is also written. So when you're fasting, you're able to have a direct line to God, you're able to pray, you're able to worship, you're able to get closer, but you're also able to have a better understanding of God and who He is through His Scriptures. You know, the Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. Amen. And one of the great things the Holy Spirit does is it illuminates Scripture. You could read the Gospel, you could read anything in the Bible, you know the context of it, you read it, but you can read it 3 different times and get 3 different things out of it in the same context. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So while you're reading this final week, I encourage you to say, Lord, this final week I want to finish strong, and I open up my eyes and I open up my heart, and I pray you do that, Lord. Do that. And you'll have a wonderful understanding, and you draw closer to the Lord. So here it is, the final week. And I gave you the 4 things that we talked about, and this is number 3. The third thing about fasting is you humble yourself, you become desperate for God, and you grow in Christ. We all remember that fasting is not a diet plan. Fasting is not a way to lose weight. This is not a look at me moment to others. We have to do it humbly when we fast, and that's not easy. Why? Because naturally our human desire is, I'm hurting, someone look at me, right? Someone help me. It's okay. I have to battle that too. People may have noticed and said, hey, you're losing some weight. It's easy to go, yes, I am. It's easy to build off of that. But when you do it humbly, you know, you appreciate their concern and everything, but you get what I'm trying to say here. You do it humbly. You're not doing it for a physical appearance. Not only are we to be humbly by fasting, to be humble, but we have to be humble when we pray. And that's our first text that we're going to look at, Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. This is what Jesus said. Now, Jesus was at the Sermon on the Mount. We all know about that. This was like the declaration, the inauguration of Jesus. He gets onto the mount, he begins to preach to the people. And he begins to go down a list of things that the Old Testament said to do, but Jesus affirmed it and also corrected some things, how they were doing it. And I want to go to Matthew 6. He says it like this, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Go back to verse 5 for me, brother. There we go. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, I'm not trying to front anybody out here. I'm not saying I saw people do this and they're doing this pridefully and they're fasting and advertising. I'm not saying that at all. This is just a reminder of what it's all about. This is about us to him, and it's about being humble about it. We don't want to put on a big show whenever we fast. We don't want you to go on Facebook Live and have a chat feed and people comment on how great you look, and that's not the point. We're looking to get closer to God. And Jesus is making an emphasis on doing it humbly. You know, God wants a humble heart. He wants a humble heart, not just in, when we say, oh, glory to God, praise to God, these different things. Everything, humbly. Right. Whenever we help somebody out, we do it humbly. Whenever we serve one another, we do it humbly. When Jesus took on human flesh, he was humble. Jesus didn't, he wasn't on a big golden chair in the synagogue and sat there all day and said, y'all come. Jesus went. Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus was just an ordinary person. And Jesus took on that flesh as God, fully God, fully man, and did the example that we should have today. Jesus built relationships. Jesus had a reputation. Jesus showed the way that we should live. When you read the Gospels, Jesus was real. I know a lot of people picture Jesus as this soft guy with fairy dust and a flower in his hair and, got a couple of tattoos on his arm and it's all good. And Jesus was very compassionate and he told the truth, but he also confronted. And he told you straight up. He also was very good at answering questions, even when they were taken out of context, like the Pharisees did on many occasions. But Jesus was real. Yes. Out of all those things, he was also humble. Jesus did things humbly, very humbly. So he set an example for us. That's the example we should have. And so, as he tells us to pray humbly, now we must fast humbly. Now let's go to Matthew 6. Verse 16 says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret, just like he said on the last text at the end, will reward you. So we see what Jesus is saying here. Now, at that time, Jesus was talking about what? We talked about this a couple of sermons ago. That's something the Jews did. Whenever they fasted, they put on sackcloth, put dust on their heads. It was a form of fasting. Most of the fasting was mourning, but it was also for a direct line to God where they pray hard and pray, get close to God spiritually. Lord, here I am. But that was a sign of fasting. But Jesus is saying, do it humbly. So let's go to today's times. We're fasting. You wake up and you're hurting, right? You're weak. You don't have a lot of strength. It's very easy not to do your normal routine. I don't think it's appropriate for us to let our hair grow and men have long beards and, you know what I'm saying. Keep your appearance up. Don't show everybody that you're fasting. Don't put yourself out there to show, hey, look at me. One example that I want to bring up, and this is nobody in the church, so don't worry about it. But somebody shared this, and I want to share it with you. He said that he was in college, and this was years ago. But he said that he had he wasn't a roommate. What is it called, Sam? You're on the same hallway. Sam's an on-campus student.
Like a hallmate.
Hallmate, sweet mate. There we go. Sweet mate, yes. And he said that he was fasting. He said, but what he did was he didn't bathe. He never showered. So whenever he walked by, the fragrance of him stayed. And it reminded everyone that he was fasting. You see where I'm getting at? So there's ways even now today to show people, look at me, I'm fasting. But Jesus is saying, don't do that. You hear what I'm saying here? Is everybody on the same page when I'm getting? Okay, all right. I feel like this is not making sense, but to you it is. So that's all that matters. It's easy for us to fast but not continue to do our normal thing. It's easy to fast and not take another step of faith. It's easy to wake up and the Lord say, go minister to somebody over here. And you go, oh Lord, I'm tired, I'm weak. I don't feel like it. I don't believe God wants you to do that. I believe God wants you to step out in faith and continue that walk and step out even more. And you'll see that God will give you that strength to minister and to glorify Him. We have to shout the praises up to bring the glory down.
Man.
And we have done that and shown that the last 2 weeks, and you're seeing what's happening. God is faithful. We're seeing a lot of great things happen in this church. A lot. But we have to have a humble, glory to God mindset always. Not just the things that are happening, but in our final week of fasting. The fourth thing, and finally, fasting helps you overcome hardships, addictions, struggles. And through prayer, you can see breakthrough. I shared the scripture last week, but I'll say it again. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. 16 says what? Rejoice always. 17 says pray without ceasing. And 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God is faithful. Amen. Yes, sometimes we pray and we don't see a miracle right away. Yes, sometimes we pray and that miracle happens, but it's a long time down the road. Yes, sometimes we pray and God acts just like that and moves and heals somebody or answers a prayer that we've been praying for right then. Amen. And we believe that God is faithful to His Word. This week, I wanted to encourage you to pray for breakthroughs. I don't know what it may be, but each of us have our own thing going on, right? There may be something in your life personally. You may be having some addictions right now with something. It may not be something that is severe, but it's something that you are addicted to. You may be going through some struggles, maybe past struggles or present struggles. Struggles, there's a wide variety of different things. The Holy Spirit will help you get through that. You may be praying for someone or have something on your prayer list that you want breakthrough for that prayer. I encourage you to step out in faith and believe that God will answer that prayer. Draw closer to Him. He draws closer to you. He will meet you there. And with all these things in mind, I believe we're going to see great things happen. In your life and this church. And that's the last thing I want to talk about on this final week of fasting. I want us to pray for this church. This church, I believe, is going to do great things for this community, for the glory of God. But we have to be praying for breakthrough, praying earnestly, praying for these things to happen. We have to invite God into this place. We have to believe these things will happen. And God is faithful because it is for His glory.
Amen.
So you're praying for breakthrough in your life. And I want to encourage you to also pray for the church that we see breakthrough as well. Great example of this is the church in Antioch, Acts 11. It talks about Acts 11. We know about that, modern day Syria. And we talked about it about a month ago, about going through those things, about the conversion of Saul into Paul. Well, there was a church in Antioch, and it started with the believers who were scattered during the persecution of Stephen's death. And so they gathered in this place, in this church, a pretty big area. They began to preach the word of God to the Jews, but then they started preaching to the Gentiles. And so a large number of Gentiles started coming to the church in Antioch. So the church in Jerusalem, who stayed there, heard this. They sent Barnabas there to see what's up about this. And when he arrived, he says that he saw the evidence of God's blessing. He was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord, including the Jews and Gentiles. And it says in verse 24 that many people were brought to the Lord. Then it says that Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. And they stayed there for a full year at that church. And it says that they taught large crowds of people. And many people, matter of fact, it said it in my translation and in a couple other commentaries, that the Antioch church were the first called Christians. So they set a big example. So that's where the Christians started in this church. So you're thinking the church went great, the church went well, awesome, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But in Acts 12, things changed. It wasn't all hallelujah. King Herod began to persecute believers. He had James, John's brother, who was killed with the sword, and he saw how much it pleased the Jews that he decided to arrest Peter. And so Peter was then placed in prison during the Passover celebration, and when they imprisoned him, they had him under four squads of four soldiers each. There's no way Peter was getting out. And Herod intended to bring Peter out to trial for the Passover. But listen to this. While Peter was in prison, in the impossible circumstances of ever leaving, probably looking at death, the church says, the church prayed very earnestly for Peter. And guess what happened? That night, an angel of the Lord came into the prison. Peter thought he was in a vision, but it was real life. And he miraculously came out of the prison. He began knocking on the door at the church, and they didn't believe him. Sometimes we pray for things and we're shocked that God moves, but he still does. But that happened. And then in Acts 13, this text, I want us to look at this text. It said, among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simon, Lucius, Manon, companion of King Herod and Saul. One day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. And in verse 3, so after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. And in chapter 4, Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit, and that was Paul's first missionary journey. We talk all the time about the 13 letters and the great things that happened with Paul and the conversion and all those things. But you know, he taught for a year at that church. That church started as the Christian church. Pretty big thing. Now, what did they do in times of trouble, in times of bad, and times of good? They prayed earnestly, and they fasted. Now, I didn't really study this part where Peter was being imprisoned, but they fasted during that time. But you know that they were praying because the Bible says they prayed earnestly. What I'm trying to say here, church, is that we can still pray earnestly and fast today, and miracles can take place, just as it did at that time. Yes. Now, if I ever preach this sermon at the prison, I'm trying not to let them know you can't escape from prison by praying and fasting like Peter did, okay? That's something different. But miracles can happen in all places. No matter where you're at, it doesn't have to be here in church. It could be in a prison. It could be at work. It could be in your house, the room, whatever, in the car, driving. Never limit God to what you can do. And as the church in Antioch did, pray earnestly and fast. Great things will happen. Praises to God, the glory of God comes to us. We want to show how great God is. We've been doing this for 2 weeks, and I hope you've been looking at the week of prayer. I hope you've been looking at the points and the resources that we have given you throughout these 3 weeks. And my hope and my prayer is that you have a list down so that after this fast, you don't just stop. You now have something to go to every day. Some of you, this is a big step, and you still got a week. Don't quit now. Some of you didn't do the fast with us. I encourage you to start the fast this week. You can still fast for a week. God can still do things. But this final week, I want to encourage you to finish strong. And whatever you're praying for and praying about, desperately say, Lord, here it is. I need you to come through. I need you, Lord. I need you every hour. I need you. And when you do those things, you will begin to see God work in those situations. God work in your lives. God will break those chains that you've been carrying for years. Amen. God will begin to faithfully do the things that you've been earnestly praying for. And another thing too, God may answer your prayer in a way you didn't really intend it to be, but it was the better way because God knows what is best because His ways are higher than ours.
Amen.
We have to trust. We have to believe. We have to have faith. We have to step out. Just as that word was shared earlier, things are being stirred. And when those things are being stirred, I encourage you to step out. It's okay. It's a good thing. It's God saying, child, come on. Let me show you what I can do in your life. Let me show you what I can do for this church. Because it's all for Him. This week, I encourage you to finish strong and not limp past the finish line. You ever seen those marathon runners? Some of them finish strong. Some of them barely make it across the line. Understandably, they're pretty tired. They ran a really long time. What I'm trying to paint a picture here is this, that God wants you to finish strong.
Amen.
We want you to finish strong, and you can finish strong. Maybe you need to write out a list of things that you need to work on. Maybe you need to write out a list of prayer requests that are top-notch, that have been on your heart all the time. Maybe it's a spiritual gift. I don't know what it may be, but I encourage you this week to focus in on it and believe in breakthrough. Believe in that thing to happen because God is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
This final week, I just encourage you to stay strong. And after the fast next Sunday, I encourage you to take what you have gotten from this fast and then apply it to your life throughout the rest of this week.
Amen.
We can't live perfect lives. We can't. We can't live a perfect life. We can't do things that are, only Jesus did that. But we can live our life to honor God.
Yes.
Maybe you don't know how to do that. I encourage you every morning when you wake up, say, Lord, today I just want to honor you. I just want to glorify your name. Lord, I want you to use me, teach me. And He will.
Amen.
Let's stand.